on notice from the ACLJ? What's happening by ISIS? Genocide.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
ISIS is committing genocide against the Yazidis, and they've been kicked out of their lands, their homes have been spray-painted, priests have been killed, tens of thousands of people have been killed. Yet why won't the Obama administration call this genocide, Christian genocide? Yeah.
My understanding is that the use of that specific term has legal ramifications, and so there are lawyers that are considering whether or not that term can be properly applied in this scenario.
One of the first human rights treaties in the world was the Genocide Convention, and it bans genocide, of course, but it also calls for the prevention of genocide and the punishment of those who perpetrate it.
What is clear and what is undeniable, and what the president has now said twice in the last 24 hours, is that we know that there are religious minorities in Iraq and in Syria, including Christians, that are being targeted by ISIL terrorists because of their religion.
So now they've labeled, the European Parliament calls us genocide. What's next?
It's important for the United States to do the same. And there's a reluctance on the part of the administration to call it genocide against Christians. They have told us privately that they will call it genocide against Yazidis, but not Christians. It's important that Congress pass Resolution 75 calling it genocide for the Christians and other vulnerable minorities. Speaker Ryan has to bring this to a vote.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So I am holding in my hand, and for our audience that's watching on the website right now or watching on Facebook and Periscope, I'm holding up for you. This is a letter that we have sent out to the Secretary of State that is a complete legal analysis of why what is happening to the Christians and other religious minorities in ISIS-controlled territory constitutes genocide. One of the things we were convinced was that the government, the Obama administration, has been not wanting to call it genocide because of legal obligations. And Jordan, based on that press conference yesterday with Josh Earnest, that is precisely and exactly what has happened.
Yeah, that's right. So if you consider this genocide, then there are obligations to both prevent it and different obligations to punish it. If you are acknowledging that this is actually occurring with specific groups, and I think that the ramifications for acknowledging, for instance, at specifically Christian genocide would be such that what we're doing currently, this current strategy to defeat ISIS, and there was a report just a couple of days ago, I tweeted out that ISIS has not changed, you know, the size of ISIS,
right.
The battle army of ISIS has not gone down at all in the last year. So it has not, though there's this kind of consistent air campaign, it's pretty limited. And it's not doing anything to really eradicate ISIS. If you acknowledge the genocide, you would have to take the next step of doing that. You would have to put together a strategy with a goal of stopping that genocide immediately.
So, Than, we suspected this was the issue, and that was they don't want the legal obligations that are triggered, which is absurd that the president doesn't want to protect Christians in the region. This is now not the secret. This is now the position.
Yeah, Josh Earnest flat out admitted, Jay, that what we've been saying all along is the fact that genocide has legal ramifications, and that's why they can't use it, because they're afraid of those ramifications. Well, we respond to that. This letter shows them conclusively with legal arguments why it is genocide and why they have to now make that designation.
The 10-page, 9-page letter, it is sent to the Secretary of State as well as to the Ambassador of International Religious Liberty. It is posted in a blog. Is that blog up? Not yet. Not yet. Okay, we'll be posting it to a blog this afternoon, so it will be up for you to see. This is the legal position that you are joining in when you've been standing with us on this issue. So Logan's going to let you know how you can participate in the conversation today. We encourage you to do it.
All right, you can join us in many different outlets. Give us a call right now at 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. Again, at 1-800-684-3110, or join us on social media, Facebook. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. We're broadcasting live right now, right there. You'll see the latest post, a live video behind the scenes. Studio quality audio still. You get to see what's going on. Talk to us during the break. Same goes for Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. And for the television multi-camera shoot style, ACLJ.org.
Yeah, folks, also let me encourage you to do this. Amazon.com for undemocratic. I'm going to tell you a little bit more when we come back from break what we need you to do on that. We're having a great result. And we encourage you to do that. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So here's what our letter says. This letter provides a legal analysis of the law of genocide as it applies to the atrocities being committed by ISIS against Christians and other minorities in Iraq and Syria. We are writing to encourage the United States government to designate Iraq and Syrian Christians as victims of genocide. This issue came up yesterday at the White House. So again, you asked, when you make these statements, when you sign these petitions, does it in fact make a difference? Well, here's what happened yesterday. They weren't talking about it 2 days ago. They are now.
ISIS is committing genocide against the Yazidis, and they've been kicked out of their lands. Their homes have been spray-painted. Priests have been killed. Tens of thousands of people have been killed. Yet why won't the Obama administration call this genocide, Christian genocide?
Yeah. My understanding is that the use of that specific term has legal ramifications. And so there are lawyers that are considering whether or not that term can be properly applied in this scenario.
So, you know, this whole argument about legal ramifications, let's talk about that. Yeah, there are obligations you have in the region to help and provide assistance. I mean, Jordan, that's the legal obligation here.
Yeah, if you recognize it, and it, after actually being engaged in the region. Yep. So we have an active, ongoing, we're part of this battle, and like that or not, they have a strategy that they've put forward. We have air campaign. We have special forces on the ground. If you acknowledge then that there is a genocide ongoing that you have been able to verify because of your involvement and because of your direct engagement, then you have to do more. And that's exactly, that's what Josh Earnest is really saying, is that there are ramifications for this. And this administration, we've seen, is happy, which is very unfortunate, to pass this along to the next president of the United States.
Let me tie also into this conversation the whole situation with that exists right now with First Class Charles Martland. Because, Stan, we knew yesterday you were having meetings. Can you give us an update on what's happened? By the way, 231,982,000, I mean almost 232,000 people have signed the petition for Sergeant Martland. What's the latest there?
A lot of great progress on both the House and the Senate side, Jay, and both the Armed Services Committee. A number of members are now working back channel within the Department of Defense to raise this to the upper levels. I think you're going to see some public remarks. I think Senator Ayotte, Jay, will be one of the ones that makes it. But I can assure folks, a number of members working where we want them to, by the way, which is behind the scenes within the Department of Defense.
So good progress there. If you want to sign that petition for Sergeant Martland, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We've got a lot of comments coming in. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 on this genocide issue and why the Obama administration will not go there. 800-684-3110.
I got some comments coming in from Nanette Rogers on Periscope. Said, I love that the ACLJ gives me a voice. Gives me a voice through these petitions. So thank you, Nanette. We also got a great
comment. Can I show something to Nanette? I don't know if we, and Logan, will this work? So this is the letter that we sent to the Secretary of State. So let me give you the, that's the cover letter. That's the, and then in the letter, we actually reference how many people we've heard from. So it's 160,000. Does that show up on the,
it's a little hard to see, but yeah, you can.
Okay, but there it is. I mean, right there. So we referenced, Nanette, exactly how many people have contacted us. And that represents a lot of people, especially when it's from all 50 states. So yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah, but Carol just commented about the genocide situation. She said, it's long overdue while America is forced to sit on the sidelines. Millions of Christians have been wiped out.
Yes, and this is the ongoing tragedy that's continuing to happen. And we've got to get this administration. We have the European Parliament. Our offices in Strasbourg were successful there, Jordan, in getting that designation there. And that was big, but now we got to move it here.
That's right. So ultimately, this is about the United States. We've been the most involved in the Western world outside of Russia in this conflict. We know Russia's not going to really want to move on this necessarily. But I think could build a coalition together. I think that's also part of the equation here that's probably caused some of the trouble, is that even Russia, a country like that, could seize on this as a way to increase their involvement and justify. But ultimately, the U.S. has to lead. If we don't lead, others do. And we've already seen that in this conflict, that when we don't take a leadership role, you open up a space for countries like Russia and Iran to partner together and take over leadership. And that's exactly what we've seen happen on the ground in Syria.
Well, let's go ahead and take a phone call. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Sure, let's go to Joanne, who's calling, or Joan, I'm sorry, from New York City, New York. You're on the air, Joan.
Hey, Joan.
Hey, thanks for always being a voice of reason.
Sure.
If you recall, there was a big hullabaloo when the mosque at Ground Zero was going to be built. He sort of withdrew for a while, and now he's building a 70-story condo coupled along with an Islamic museum and a mosque. And no one wants to cover the story. He's doing fundraising. He sees broken ground, and it all opens
but
next year.
What I'm understanding, and Jordan was very involved in the mosque at Ground Zero case and getting that mosque not to be at Ground Zero, which was just a symbol of conquest. We have a whole movie about that. But my understanding, Jordan, was that that developer's actually lost the rights to the property.
Yeah, so that has basically become a situation where what they were trying to do is not happening. And it's so a victory in a sense, because though they could still use the small space that they had, which no one was complaining about, and there was not an issue about this mega mosque that was being discussed and the controversy surrounding that. It was really the individuals involved with it and their statements about 9/11 specifically, that basically that's been put to rest.
Yeah, so I think we've had a successful conclusion there. If you're just joining us, we've got a letter that went off to a legal brief that went off to the Secretary of State yesterday. It's about 10 pages long. Why what's gone on by ISIS targeting Christians constitutes genocide. We have had a lot of progress in the last 24 hours on it as well, including yesterday, again, the White House press spokesman, Josh Earnest, was forced to deal with why the president's not doing this designation. Here's his pushback, but this tells you, folks, your voice is making a big difference here.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is this. The decision to apply this term to this situation is an important one. It has significant consequences, and it matters for a whole variety of reasons, both legal and moral. But it doesn't change our response. And the fact is that this administration has been aggressive, even though that term has not been applied, in trying to protect religious minorities who are victims or potential victims of violence.
Well, that's not true, number one. Number two, you know, instead of going to a mosque in Baltimore to speak to try to, you know, solve the problem of Islam and violence and terrorism, why don't you do this? Why don't you destroy ISIS and protect those in the region? That will solve the Syrian refugee issue. It will solve the Christians being wiped out of Syria and Iraq. That's how you do this. And you designate a genocide so the appropriate assistance and labeling would go into play. But Than, this administration continues to push back on this, and it's we've now uncovered exactly why they've done this, and then they've got this other argument, well, technically under the law, Christians can convert or pay a tax, and therefore why should they be designated subject to genocide, which is absolutely, and by the way, we point that out in our letter brief, is absolutely absurd.
It's a pretty shocking admission, actually, Jay. I mean, it may have even been a slip of the tongue, but to admit that it is the legal ramifications that are keeping you from making a designation, yes, there are very significant legal ramifications, and we outline them in this letter. But, Jay, not wanting to live up to those, that is a terrible reason for not granting an obligation.
The United States was one of the authors of the Genocide Conventions, Jordan, to try to eliminate precisely what is happening here. We were the authors of it, and now we're not enforcing it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is and we've taken a lead here, then we took a back seat, and we've let others lead, and now we're in this situation where we don't even want to acknowledge the atrocities by ISIS because that may mean that we have to do more. That is not how America operates. That's not how we've ever operated. And if we need to do more and don't want to use as many U.S. troops, then we need to build a coalition, and that's up to the administration and the White House to use the partners we have around the world to help fight this battle, that you can put together a winning coalition. We should be able to destroy ISIS, but they are unwilling to do it.
All right. We've got a lot of comments and calls coming in. Again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Christina just commented on Facebook. She said, the genocide has been happening for the entire current administration, and at every point they have denied it. It's been pointed out to them repeatedly, and now it's beginning on our own shores, even within our country.
So here's what we're doing. I mean, we don't have genocide inside the United States. Okay? I mean, we don't have genocide inside the United States. But there is genocide going on, because what we have in the United States, I mean, it's not... It's terrorism, and it's targeting American citizens that aren't Muslims, yes. But the fact of the matter is, the reality is, and this is what we pointed out in the brief, you've got the European Union. I just want to – our office in Strasbourg, France, worked with members of the European Union, European Parliament, and were able to obtain a resolution stating that there was genocide and Christians were included in the list. We've not been able to get the United States to do that, but we have pushed back aggressively right now. I mean, we've done it. We just sent this – letter, a legal position paper will be posted this afternoon up on a blog on this. So we're getting that information out, including the letter. But then the progress on it has been very significant in about a 24-hour window here.
Really overnight. Changed the terms of the debate, Jay. Now, I mean, the White House has essentially admitted that it is the fear of the requirements that would be upon them that is preventing this. So we're not only going to go to the White House, we're also going to go to the relevant committees of Congress, make the case, show them why the White House is wrong.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment and take more of your calls and comments. If you want to talk to us on our 800-684-3110, over 232,000 signatures for Sergeant Martland. You can add your name right now at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Undemocratic, the book in paperback, is available on Amazon. Go ahead and order it today and tomorrow. The big 2 days for us, folks. So today and tomorrow on Amazon. Barnes & Noble, it's in stores. So it's not available online right now, but it is available in stores. So we encourage you to get it there. Again, Undemocratic, make sure it's a paperback edition.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused. And Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. So we've got a letter that has gone out that you've signed with us. We are representing, it's from our American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, the Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, which so many of you have generously supported the work of our Oxford Center, the Philo's Project, the National Clergy Council, Faith and Action in the Nation's Capital, among others. And we are very encouraged that 160,000 people have signed on to this letter demanding that Christians in the Middle East be protected, that it's genocide. We've won it in the European Union. We're now fighting it in Washington, D.C. Jordan, explain to everybody the significance of the designation in Europe, but why it's so critical we get that same designation here in Washington.
Well, when you have a designation like this, you have a duty to act both to prevent the genocide, the ongoing genocide, from continuing to occur. That doesn't mean you have to stop. You could stop it overnight, but it means that you'd have to do more than what we're doing right now, and also work with the world to do more than what we're doing. And it also gives an obligation when the battle is done. It gives a way, actually, to prosecute those who took part in this genocide. So it also gives it's not just a proactive,
right,
but also a retributive. So you're able to go back and then say, you have committed these crimes. And in Europe, it was also crimes against humanity, and war crimes, and genocide. And then you can prosecute those who were involved with ISIS.
So I'm holding the letter, actually. And if you're watching on our website or you're watching on aclj.org, rather, that is the website, of course. If you're watching on Periscope and Facebook, you're actually seeing it. This is the letter brief, and this lays it out, and all 160,000 of you have signed on to it. So it's a great, great progress we're making. I'm glad we got the designation in Europe. We're going to fight for it here in the United States. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Diane, who's calling from Seymour, Indiana, on line two. You're on the air, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good.
I just heard on the news this week that Secretary of Defense Ash Carter designates ISIS as number five, fifth. There's four other who are the enemies of America. There's four other entities like Russia, and I don't remember the other ones. China are more enemies of America than ISIS are.
Well, I mean, the lethality capability of an engagement with the Chinese or the Russians is much more significant, existential, than it is by ISIS. ISIS doesn't have the capabilities right now, to engage a conflict like if we had a conflict with the Chinese or in the North Koreans or the Russians. And I think that's what Ash Carter's referring to. By the way, the fact that it's number five, Fan, doesn't mean that's not really significant, because it really is.
Well, this is the same administration that said global warming was the number one national security threat.
Right.
But I would say two things. Two reports came out of the Defense Department. One said that ISIS is just as strong now as they were a year ago. And then the White House followed up and saying, yes, but their threat is waning. The facts don't justify where they conclude when it comes to ISIS.
No, in fact, Jordan, you said that the report out that you've evaluated said that actually the territory and the number of troops of ISIS has actually not gone down.
Sent this out on Twitter, and it was just a regular news report, and it just talked about how the number of battle-ready troops for ISIS has not changed in the last year, so it has not gone down. It hasn't necessarily grown by leaps and bounds, but it has maintained that level somewhere around, that 50,000 that they talk about. And that is, I think, key, because that we know that the administration's strategy has been these kind of trying to take out leadership, people with leadership positions in ISIS, but has not been a wide-scale effort to totally destroy ISIS. And we've heard about this, the presidential debates on the Republican side. On the Democrat side, we don't hear the same kind of rhetoric. On the Republican side, we hear the statements that we must go in and totally eradicate and destroy ISIS. That is not what the administration's position has been.
The interesting dynamic of all of this is the fact is that we're having to hold them accountable at a high level here. And we're doing exactly that. So that's the good news in all this. Let's go ahead and take another call. Logan, another comment.
Sure. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Al, who's calling from Brooklyn on line three. Al, you're on the air.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Jay. I'm really surprised that your organization has waited this long to put out a rebuke against the ISIS.
What do you mean?
Well, you could have put this out a year ago.
Well, we did. We wrote the book on ISIS and the genocide that was going on. It was called Rise of ISIS.
You're right. I apologize.
Yeah. So, Al, we've been on top of it. I mean, I appreciate you calling in, but just so you know, we were talking about ISIS and what they were doing before ISIS was a household word. I had studied ISIS in the summer of 2014 at Oxford University in England and presented papers on it. And those papers became a book, and this was before it got into the news. So we have been leading the charge on ISIS and the genocide aspect. The reason we've sent this letter now, and Than can get into that, is there's votes coming up, so you redouble your efforts on those votes when at the right time. Timing is very important in these kind of things. Sending a letter 4 months earlier, 3 months later, it could be meaningless. So timing is the critical part of this, Than, and that's what we need to get everybody to understand.
Yeah, the timing of this legal letter, Jay, is a specific response to the excuse that we know this administration is making. They are saying it doesn't meet the legal framework and there are specific legal ramifications. Well, we respond with a 10-page letter that says, oh, yes, it does meet the legal framework, and yes, it has legal ramifications, and not wanting to meet them is a terrible reason for not issuing that designation.
Yeah, so I think it's important, Jordan, as we close this segment of the broadcast out, for people to understand that taking action on this is really critical, and the action we need now is we've got the European Parliament agreed, now we've got to get the United States to do the same.
Yeah, and if we could do that, we've got the Western world basically acknowledging the genocide here, and they would have to do more, whether it's through NATO and a U.S.-led coalition, working with partners in the Arab world and the Gulf states to eradicate ISIS, to prevent this genocide. Yep. That is the key, is the first step of acknowledging it is the prevention, and that means not just pinpoint strikes to take out leaders. It means to start preventing the genocide of various minority groups under ISIS-controlled territory.
All right, so we are at the ending up the first 30 minutes of the broadcast. It's hard to believe. That went quick. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways that you can get the second 30 minutes. Or we want you to be part of the next half hour of the broadcast, and then I'm going to ask you to do a couple things.
That's right. You can join us in many different ways. If you still want an audio-only feed, go to ACLJ.org. You can also on ACLJ.org watch a live television-style broadcast we're producing right now. Three-camera shoot, professionally lit, professional sound, everything you want to see just like you see on television, but we broadcast it every day on ACLJ.org. It's also right now on Facebook and Periscope, behind-the-scenes look at Jay Sekulow Live. Hear the show, studio quality audio, but you also get to talk to us during the breaks and see what's going on behind the scenes. That's facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow, and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast in iTunes.
And we have one phone line open going into the break. Yep. You could take that at 800-684-3110. The book is called Undemocratic. There's been a big demand for this book. It's the paperback edition. It's the expanded edition. There are two new chapters added, mostly on the Hillary Clinton email scandal. It is selling very well, to say the least, because of you all. We're wanting to get it on as many of the bestsellers lists as we can. It's already on a number of the Amazon bestsellers lists. But the key right now is Amazon is going to have their stock in today, so we encourage you to continue ordering it today if you've not yet ordered it. And even if you get a notice saying it may be delayed, it's not. I spoke to the publisher this morning. It is being placed in there today.
We just got a comment from someone who just bought it at Barnes & Noble. They said that they didn't have it actually on the shelves, so you had to ask for it. So make sure you ask for it at the information desk. Look, that sometimes the retailers, individual employees, sometimes delay in stocking the shelf, so there's always that. But they have them, and you can tell they have them in stock on their website. So if you go, you can look there, or you just call them. They have them. They'll get you a copy if they can't find it on the shelves.
All right, so I appreciate that coming in. So, again, if you go to the Barnes & Noble, tell them you want a copy. They'll put you right to it. And Amazon.com, you can order it there. We're going to be back with more. But again, folks, don't cancel your orders. Keep those orders coming. We'll be back with more in a moment.
A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Genocide in the Middle East is front and center. The ACLJ, of course, led the way with our book, Rise of ISIS, that pointed all of this out almost a year and a half ago. Since then, we've been working with our international affiliates to have what's going on with ISIS and the genocide against Christians targeted and identified as, in fact, genocide. Yesterday, we sent a letter to the Secretary of State and a copy to the Director of Religious, the Ambassador on Religious Freedom at Large, giving the legal reasons why I'm holding it up right now so you could see it if you're watching us, why this is genocide. And I will tell you that the movement on this has been significant. Josh Earnest, the press spokesperson for the president, is getting a lot of pushback. Should we go ahead and play number five? Yeah, I mean, did we play that one already? I'm sorry. Number three. Okay, because I'm seeing five and six up here. Let's go ahead and listen.
In talking about it and making the distinction of genocide, which provides these people who have been persecuted with the ability to come to the United States. When will this happen? Will it?
Well, I do know that this is something that this is an open question and one that continues to be considered by administration lawyers. But I can tell you that the president, I think, was quite blunt in talking about the responsibility that all people of faith have in standing up for individuals who are targeted because of their faith, particularly religious minorities.
Going to a mosque and making a speech does nothing to help these people. You want in-region assistance, and that is what has to happen. All right, we've got people that have been holding. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, let's take another call. Let's go to Raj from Virginia on line four from Vienna, Virginia. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for all you dear men.
Thank you.
Who are standing for the truth. I have been so troubled by what our president has said and done in the mosque. In Baltimore. There has been this continuing, it's gross, egregious for him to have this unethical, immoral equivalence which he's drawing between all our Christian organizations, our ideals, and what we've done in the world with what's happening in the mosques. And by supporting these, I believe he has abused his office.
Well, I'll tell you what he's done. He draws this moral equivalence, and this moral equivalence is, I'm telling you, I'm done with the moral equivalence because there is no moral equivalence of what's going on by ISIS and anybody else. And this going to the mosque, Jordan, was a political move by the president. It does nothing to advance the issue that we're facing in the country and in the region in the Middle East. Does nothing. Zero.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, again, you can go and you can make these statements, and it may be a different time. It has more of an impact, but this is, again, I think it divides people, and ultimately we're not seeing that kind of action that we keep hearing about from the Muslim world. I mean, we keep saying that, you know, the Gulf states are our Arab partners, but we've got to see some action. And I think some of this is just the Obama administration is not pushing hard enough. That's true. And then secondly, I think the problem with a lot of the rhetoric is it's very divisive. It's not unifying. It's telling one group of people that this other group of people doesn't like you.
Yeah, and I think, then the point of that, and this is what's, I think, so significant about it, the point is that the president's making these statements, these public statements in the mosque, and he's just televising it. This doesn't do anything to advance the real situation that real people are facing and suffering right now.
Right. He continues to be unwilling to say anything that cuts against his narrative, but it's not like there aren't ramifications. I mean, Christians are being slaughtered as we speak, and he's making a political speech. He's got to take his job more seriously, to be quite honest.
Do we have time to play this one? All right, I'm going to play something from the Moss speech in the next segment of the broadcast, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. All right, we'll take more phone calls at 800-684-3110. Any comments we need to hit before the break, Logan?
I think before we go to the break, there's a lot pouring in, and if you want to get your comment in, you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join us on Facebook and Periscope right now.
All right, folks, let me encourage you what to do. If you want to sign that petition for Sergeant Martin, which is now up to 232,000, you can do that at aclj.org. The book Undemocratic, go to Amazon and order it. And no matter what they tell you when you order it, just go ahead and order it. It's not going to be 2 or 3 weeks.
The paperback.
The paperback. Very important. Get the paperback. It's coming right out there. It's stocked again today. Barnes & Noble, I think you got to go now to the store to do that. So, and Logan's saying ask for it.
Yeah, ask for it if you can't find it, or just go up to the information desk. It's probably the easiest way to find it. Or order it online as a store pickup, and they should have it ready for you when you arrive.
All right. Back with more in a moment.
Bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So we were talking during the break about the fact that we've got our letter out on the issue of genocide. We talked about that in our book, Rise of ISIS. We've been leading the charge on this. We won at the European Union yesterday. I want Jordan first to talk about the significance of that vote. Then I've got a question on timing for Than. But the significance of the EU vote was very important. Our office in Strasbourg led the charge on that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so having all of Europe, the Western Europe, acknowledge the genocide is important for the NATO's role, but it will ultimately take the United States. I mean, this is we know this. We've got to take leadership here. And right now, we've let a vacuum occur, not just a vacuum that, that led to the creation of ISIS, but now a vacuum that's led to the direct engagement of Russia and Iran into not just Iraq, but Syria.
All right. So, Than, we talked about timing and that we won this at the European Union, but now we've got to win it here. But you're saying a delay is actually not a bad thing.
Well, a delay of at least a few days, Jay, because all the indications we're getting is that the White House wants to put out this designation, but they want to put out the bad language, the language that does not include Christians. So if there's a chance of doing the right thing and we see a 3 or 4 day delay here without any designation, I think that's a sign that they are reevaluating. So a short delay, not a long one, but a short delay would be a good thing.
When do we expect any idea?
I think it would have been out already without this push.
Okay.
But it would have been the bad language. So now I don't have a specific date.
Okay. We'll keep everybody posted on that. Again, we encourage you to stay engaged on this issue. We've got a blog post going up on the afternoon that will include our letter. Read the letter on genocide. It's fascinating. Be easy to understand. You'll really understand the legal issues. Let's go right to the phones, Logan, or comments.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. There's so many people who have called in. Randy's calling from Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania, on line 5. You're on the air, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Jay. I appreciate the work you do.
Thanks.
I'm actually a Canadian. I'm in the States quite frequently for work, driving, and I'm concerned about the way the American administration is handling this. And has anybody dared acknowledge that the worst of the Islamic jihadists that's doing, you know, bad things to the U.S. lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Well, no. I mean, you got to blame the president for not taking action. That's what I'm blaming him for. I'm not getting into an ad hominem attack on the president, Randy. I'm gonna get into a why is the president not taking an action. What Than just pointed out is a thing we need to concentrate on, is that they were going to take action on listing genocide, but they were not going to include Christians. And that was that's a calculated decision on the administration's part, and that's what we have to focus on, making sure Christians are in that designation or they don't get the global protections.
Yeah, that's right. And also the protections you get as refugee status, which honestly I think we need more help with. It would be great to be able to easier process to identify who the Christians are. Yep. We know because of the persecution that goes on, even if you've escaped ISIS specifically, but inside these predominantly Muslim refugee camps, that a lot of Christians are afraid to even acknowledge their faith, and because they will be labeled as such and then can put themselves at risk inside the refugee camp after fleeing ISIS. These kind of designations would make that easier because they would be able to also take advantage of easier refugee status and really being able to identify people who will have a home maybe in a decade in Syria and people who might not. And that's really the difference between these designations. You look at, do these Christians have a place to go after ISIS falls? And we know that it's not just people that have lost their lives. It's the entire Christian communities that have been destroyed. They may not have a home in Syria, even if, and what we hope and pray for, you know, things calm down and become relatively peaceful. They may not have a home again.
Yeah. So this is that's why we're moving now. But again, as Stan said, the timing, don't get discouraged by the fact that it's a few days delay, because if we didn't have the delay, what we're saying is we would have had language on genocide, but Christians wouldn't have been included. So the delay is actually helpful here. Let's go ahead and take another comment or call.
Yeah, let's go to Clay from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia. You're on the air, Clay, on line 4.
Hi, Clay.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Great. Just a couple of points. I'm a Christian, but I'm decidedly left wing, and I just don't think it's our job to go and try to eventually maybe saddle up and go and try to physically protect Christians. I have a son in the service, and I don't want to give my son's life for the protection of Christians anywhere. Well, I think that's where this is going. Point number two.
Well, let me address point number one first, Clay, just so we're clear here, so you understand. We're not talking about sending troops. The designation is a designation that provides aid when you've got a genocide mark or the ability for asylum for some people. We can't identify who the Christians are right now. The Yazidis are going to be identified as subject to genocide, and they will get those protections. And I think, you know, where I disagree with you, and I appreciate your son's service to the country, but we have a moral obligation. We've signed a genocide treaty, so we just can't not do that. I mean, we just can't say we're not going to do it. But go ahead with your second point.
My second point is more to the point. I've been hearing people on the right wing call for war and call for war and call for war for years now, and you know, for different wars we've had since George Bush and Junior and Senior. And I wish just one time I could watch TV on Sunday morning and see an empty church for right wing Christians finally anteing up and signing up and going to die for what they want.
Hold it. I mean, if you listen to this program at all, Clay, you know in the last week, we've been talking about Sergeant Martland, and a lot of Christians that are in the military called about his case. So to saying that they're not, Christians aren't signing up or right wing is absurd.
Yeah, if we asked all of the servicemen and women who are listening right now to call in, we'd be able to go for hours and hours and hours all day, because they're not only great listeners, but obviously you know, people of faith, and also obviously people that want to serve their country.
Yeah. So this, Clay, I just fundamentally disagree with you. I mean, you said you're decidedly left wing. Okay. It's a free country. You get to be left wing. But you don't really believe that if a group is being subject to genocide, that we should ignore them. You don't believe that. Do you, Clay?
You know, it's easy to say.
So what would have you done with the Jews in Nazi Germany?
Well, when you bring that up, I guess you should saddle up and go. But the only problem I have.
Well, I mean, okay.
When we go to war,
yeah.
it's always the poor people or the middle class.
I think that's absolutely absurd. You know, Clay, I'm sorry, with all due respect, I think that is a ridiculous statement that is not based on fact. So you give me the fact that says that, because I will tell you, I speak to them every day, men and women serving the military. We have them on our staff, and many of them who have served in harm's way, including in Afghanistan and Iraq, were not uneducated, whatever you were saying about the class structure. I mean, I think that is not left wing. That is a socialist propaganda. It sounds like something coming out of Bernie Sanders. That's absurd, Clay, and you know better than that. You sound like a smart guy. You know better than that. That is absurd.
Thank you, Clay, for calling.
Yeah,
appreciate
there you go,
it.
Clay. Logan wants me to stop.
His argument crumbled pretty quickly, so thank you for calling.
All right.
You changed someone's mind. That's good. That's right. Why we leave up the guys who are also against us on Facebook and Periscope, because hopefully they're listening and they can have their minds changed, because if you actually start to think about some of these positions, it's pretty easy to get it back on track. Well,
I just want to say, Ruth Montel said her family's in the military. They're glad they're serving. I mean, all these people are saying
this. Of course, everybody.
I got Steve. Steve said he's 20 years in the Army. He's a Christian. What is this guy Clay saying? I mean, there's probably dozens of people that are posting on Facebook right now.
On Periscope, it's just going wild. So we only have 2.5 minutes. You want me to take a call? Or you want to?
No, I want to. I think we'll take the calls and we'll do a rapid fire round coming up. Does that work?
Sure. Yeah, we have a couple lines open. So Anna Marie, Peter, and Peter, two Peters, both from the same town. So we'll need to fix that. Okay, that's very strange. Portland representing. We have one line open right now. 1-800-684-3110.
All right. That's okay. Jordan. You're Jordan, right? Okay, Jordan, I want you to lay out again the case here, why the genocide designation is important. Do it quickly, and then I want to stand about again to explain to everybody this timing issue, why the delay is helpful.
It creates a duty to stop the genocide. And so if we can unite Western Europe and the United States and have a stronger NATO coalition, that will mean more on the ground, not just an air campaign, because if you acknowledge this is ongoing, you've got a duty to prevent it. You can work with coalition partners. It doesn't have to just be the United States going it alone. And we can utilize what Europe has already done. So we need to seize this moment and make sure to act as quickly as possible.
All right, and Than, the delay has been a plus here. People need to understand that. Underscore that, because I don't think people got that.
If there had not been pushback on this, Jay, the designation would already be out, but it would not include Christians, and it would not include most of the region currently occupied by ISIS. So the short-term delay is a good thing as they reevaluate the position. We just have to make sure when it eventually comes out, it's as expansive and inclusive as it absolutely has to be.
All right, so here's what we want you to do. Again, first, if you want to talk to us in here, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to help Sergeant Martlin, today's the last day on radio to sign on to that brief. To that petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Undemocratic, the book. Let me explain what you need to do. Go to Amazon, order it. Even if it says 2 to 3 weeks delivery, it's not. They got reached it. I just got an email. They've got another 5,000 units in today. You get something that says your order's being delayed, ignore it. They're not being delayed. Undemocratic. These are the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, the last two scan days that count. So we want the paperback version of Undemocratic. And then, Logan, what about Barnes & Noble? What do they need to do?
Okay, Barnes & Noble, you can buy it right now in the stores. You can't buy it online. It's sold out online, thanks to all of you. But you can still get it in almost all the retail locations in Barnes & Noble. You can find out specific stores online. You can click Find in Store after you search for Undemocratic. You can actually order it, pick it up when you get there, or get there and just ask for Undemocratic.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
You can tell that Ray is a percussionist because he always picks that portion of the song which has the cowbell, which is, you know, my favorite part too, as the guy that played the cowbell.
There's a lot of people talking about the cowbell right now on social media.
More cowbell?
Yes.
Well, you heard that on the other night. We had that. They like the cowbell, so that's good. You can play the cowbell. All right, rapid fire round here, so let's go right to it.
All right, let's go to Peter from Portland, Maine on line six. One of two Peters from Portland, Maine.
Peter, line six, Portland, Maine, you are on.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
I had a question.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there was anything the ACLJ can do to muster maybe the UN and other countries to take actions against on ISIS.
Yeah, so, and on the genocide issue. So what we've done is our European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, has successfully concluded it with the European Parliament. So they're on board. Then what's the latest on the UN side of this?
Well, we're doing it, and that's what's so great about the European Parliament designation, Jay. It has already been forwarded to the United Nations, right, and our affiliate there will start pushing it.
And then, Jordan, I guess, then the next question is here. It's much more a matter of convincing the legality, which is what we're doing in this letter.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have to make sure people understand the administration, what they're trying to say, and they're not really backing away from the truth. The truth is they don't want the obligation. They don't want the legal obligation to stop this activity, which we believe is genocide. And that's why we've got the letter, which explains it for everybody. And we could take that to other countries as well. But listen, I mean, we've already done that in Europe. Europe, the Western Europe has said this is genocide. Now, it would be not normal practice for us as the United States, the most powerful military in the world, to rely on those countries independently to do this. We kind of take the lead. We've got NATO, which has been involved. But if we're going to go on the ground, we know ultimately where that burden will fall to really do it right and to stop ISIS and to get rid of them.
So let me tell you what we've done, because that was a good question. We've mobilized our European Center for the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. That handles Europe for us. Of course, the ACLJ is engaged in it here domestically in the United States. And then our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, which is dedicated as a think tank that gets academics and practitioners involved from all over the world. We've had big symposiums on these issues. The Oxford Center has engaged in the formation of policy statements on it. So all of that is out right now. So all that's hitting kind of simultaneously, and that's how we're getting this done, and that's how we're moving this forward.
All right, let's take another call. We'll go to the other Peter from Portland, Maine on line three. You're on
the
air.
Peter from Portland, Maine, line three. You are on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
My question is this. Are we as a nation looking into the ideology of Islam that where we fight against a supremacist ideology? When we fought against the Nazis, we studied National Socialism, we studied Mein Kampf. Are we, as a people, understanding the ideology of Islam?
Well, we have... Peter, it's a great question. It's something we've been promoting. The first book on ISIS that was published nationally was our book, Rise of ISIS. I'm holding it here for those that are watching on Facebook or Periscope. You'll remember it, or watching on the website. That was the first book that got into this. We've expanded it with an additional edition that is added about four more new chapters. So it's in its third printing already. So the Rise of ISIS, we did exactly that. You've got to understand the ideology of what's motivating this. And, Jordan, when you understand the ideology, and we've studied this and we've looked at it, the fact of the matter is that you've got to go to the root of the ideology, but you also have to eliminate them as a physical threat. So the physical aspect of the threat militarily, because ISIS is different than Al-Qaeda. They're operating much more like an army.
Yeah, and they're different even than German soldiers. They're not ever quitting, and so you have to kill them.
Right.
I mean, that is the only way to stop them. They don't surrender. You don't then take them as prisoners of war and then release them after. They have to be killed on the battlefield. I mean, and we see that from their actions both in Syria and Iraq, but also in their more terrorist-style attacks. They go out shooting. They go out with suicide bombing vests. So you have to understand that going into it. They do have a end times kind of ideology, Islamic belief, and you have to understand that because that ultimately leads to the strategy. You can't just round them up, and it's not going to happen. In fact, that would put our troops even in more harm's way trying to take mass prisoners of war here. They have to be killed.
All right, so let's go ahead and take another phone call here. Again, if you're joining us late, we've sent off our legal response to the Secretary of State on why Christians should be listed as genocide, and it is now, if you go to ACLJ.org, there's a post by me that has portions of the letter in it. It's right on the homepage, so we encourage you to do just that. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Anna Maria in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Line one, you're
on
the air.
Hi, Anna Maria, you're on the air.
Hi, you're one of my moral heroes. I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for your, I know it's going a step back, but for your attention to the Sergeant Martin case and also to the work of Christian Stephen. I'm the person who conducted the original research in Afghanistan, and I just want to throw out something. My name's Anna Maria Cardinelli. The humanitarian issue at stake is enormous, obviously, and you're addressing that. But people need to understand that the pedophilia thing in Afghanistan is also a vital security issue to our country, both in the fact that it's happening on Afghan bases and in the fact that it actually breeds the terrorist threat to the U.S. I want to encourage people to read the book Crossing the Wire, One Woman's Journey into the Hidden Dangers of the Afghan War. Just understand that the whole picture a little better, because it's a huge picture and it's ugly, and we have to understand it if we're going to
keep Anna Maria, I'd like to get you in touch with C.C. Heil, who's a senior counsel with our office, because you're talking about the Afghan abuse of boys and that whole situation. We had a meeting yesterday to talk about that, to get into that deeper, because it's kind of what's behind the Sergeant Martland situation is the reaction of Sergeant Martland and Captain Quinn. Their reactions to this were because of this practice of that the Afghans were engaged in, where it's child abuse. And violating international law violates Afghan law. But we're getting into that now and are going to start raising that issue on a global scale with the various governments we deal with and also with the international bodies we deal with. So can we put you on hold so I can get your contact information down to CC?
Sure, sir, but that is fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for what you're doing.
Thanks. So hang on the line here. We'll get that contact. Look, let's try to get the last call in if we can.
Kurt, New York, you're on the air.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a grateful supporter here, Jay.
Thanks.
Nice to talk to you. Sign all your petitions. I think you're doing a great work, and I appreciate it very much. Now, with the White House doing the stonewalling on the ISIS situation, that's being complicit, which literally should have criminality to it.
Well, I mean, the stalling on ISIS is, I mean, and Nathan, I'll let you go to this. I mean, the president just doesn't want to engage this as a military conflict of a significant proportion to it. He just doesn't want that. I mean, he's made a calculated political decision, Nathan, that this is going to go on to the next administration.
Right. Well, if he doesn't make this designation, he's certainly complicit in the ramifications. Jordan's talked about it. They have an obligation to prevent this genocide and then also to address the impact it's already had. He's definitely complicit in those two angles, Jeff.
Yeah, and Jordan, the fact is the president doesn't want that designation because of the affirmative obligations it puts on.
That's right. It requires the U.S. to do more. And this is an administration that's already talked about ISIS existing long after President Obama leaves office. And that has been the key here, is that they have not been willing to go in and fully take out ISIS or even put in a strategy that would do so quickly. They are already looking towards the next president.
Yes, that's a lot of comments coming in. Twitter, Millie just tweeted, it's time for our country to stand up against this enemy.
Yep.
They're no different than Hitler, so that's referring to ISIS. And then there's also comments like that that just keep pouring in, people who are just outraged and want their support. That Bonnie just put, praying for all Christians and all minority faiths, ISIS needs to be destroyed.
Well, we're with you on that, and that's why we're working hard. Again, it's posted at ACLJ.org. And folks, 160,000 of you fighting with us on this, and that's great. 232,000 of you with Sergeant Martland. We'll have more information, I'm sure, on that next week. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign the petition for Sergeant Martland. Logan, let everybody know, to get the book, what do they need to do? Undemocratic.
All right, go on Amazon, go ahead and order it. It says it'll take 2 to 4 weeks, potentially, or 2 to 3 weeks. Don't worry, it won't. They're getting a new shipment in today. You guys have just ordered so many that they can't keep up with it, but they have gotten a new shipment today, so don't worry, you should be able to get it that way. You can also go to Barnes & Noble's in stores and ask for a Democratic. They have it in almost all locations in stock right now.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.